You know, it seems like life is like that acronym IAS. IAS. It's always something, isn't it? It seems like there's issue or problems one after another in this life. Could be the car needs repairing, or wash machine's flooded again, or broken pipe, or whatever it is. Issues and problems occur, and we get one tackled. We solve one issue or one problem, and then there's two or three more staring us in the face. It's always something, isn't there? Well, I suppose that's one reason why stress has become a real huge problem, especially here in America. Told that over 50% of the reason why people go to a doctor is stress-related. And it's been said that approximately 12% of people ages 18 to 54 have what's called acute stress or high anxiety. They have trouble functioning in society. Or they're even, many are put on long-term disability. And even at night, we're affected by stress. For last night, as well as every night in America, approximately 30% of Americans lose sleep because of stress, because of the stress, the anxieties of life. And then we even, as we now conclude our series on changing our attitude, thinking more like Christ, and looking at prayer, we read from Paul's letter to Philippians, and in chapter 4, verse 6, we read these words. It says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God." So we're told here in this verse that Paul writes to the church at Philippi that we are to come to God with everything. Don't be anxious, don't be worried, don't be stressed out, if you will, about anything. But come to him in prayer, even with thanksgiving. Come to him in prayer. And then I read that and I think about my life and I think, oh no, I'm not really doing that. I don't always come to the Lord and let my requests be made known. And so that stresses me out even a little bit more because I'm not doing what God wants me to do. And it can add to the stress level. But don't be anxious about anything. God tells us to come to him, doesn't he, in prayer. It's a wonderful privilege, a wonderful honor that we can come to the Lord in prayer. And we do it often. But what exactly is prayer? And so we want to ask that question so we get a clear definition, really, of what is prayer. First of all, Jesus, in our gospel reading, which Joel just read a few moments ago, tells us what Jesus does not want in prayer. He doesn't want us to heap on a bunch of empty words, a bunch of phrases that really are meaningless, okay? So we don't want ourselves to look more religious, if you will, right? By heaping on, oh, Lord, thou art the greatest, thee art thou, all those meaningless words that we can just spew off and make us look more religious. But that's not what Jesus wants. That's not what prayer is about. Prayer does not have to be a formal, long thing. Now, there is a place for formal prayers, certainly. In church, we usually have formal prayers. But prayer, really, when we think about it, and get a definition I'll give you from my confirmation days, way back when the pastor gave us this definition in confirmation class, and I just love it, and I've used it ever since. It was, prayer is a heart-to-heart talk with God. A heart-to-heart talk with God. Isn't that amazing? What a privilege it is for us that we can have a heart-to-heart talk with the Almighty, all-powerful God. The one who just spoke the words and this universe came into existence. We can have a heart-to-heart talk with him. We can call this Almighty God. We can call him Abba, which translates in English just simply Dad. We can call him Dad. This Almighty God, we can call Dad. What a privilege. What an honor it is that we can come to him. And then he tells us even more. He says we should surrender it all. We should give it all to the Almighty. Give it all to the all-powerful God. Unload yourself. Surrender it. Give it to Christ. But we don't really like to, do we? We, first of all, don't really like that word surrender. Surrender means defeat, doesn't it? Surrender means that we don't win. Surrender means that we've held up the white flag, and we can't do it on our own. Surrender means we need help. And so we surrender it to God. We give it to him. But, oh, that's can be difficult to do. And we often, I know myself, I may not verbally say it, but here's what my prayer sounds like. It's, Lord, if it's going to be, it's up to me, right? And we think if I work harder, if I work faster, if I work smarter, then, hey, we can accomplish it. Hey, we can get it done. We can overcome these obstacles. We can do it if we just try harder. If we just work faster, we can do it. And we pray, Lord, if it's going to be, it's up to me. But God doesn't want that. Oh, no. He says, pray it this way instead. He says, Lord, if it's going to be, it's up to thee. Surrender it to him. Give it to him. We can't do it on our own. So God has given us this privilege. He's given us this honor to unload ourselves. Come to me, all who are weak and heavy laden. I will give you rest, Jesus says. We can unload our burdens, unload our problems, unload our lives onto the Almighty King himself, onto Jesus Christ. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, which we heard read this morning, and we're going to pray in just a few moments again. That Lord's Prayer that we pray every week, it's basically got seven parts, seven petitions to it. And in the second petition, the second part, we're going to pray, Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Thy kingdom come. It's all about surrendering. It's all about giving up our life to the Lord and saying, Lord, you take it. That word kingdom is important in the Gospel of Matthew. It's mentioned 37 times in just 28 chapters of the Gospel of Matthew. And we want to realize that the kingdom of God is not a central place. It's not a country. A lot of times we think of a kingdom as, you know, maybe the United Kingdom, or we think of it as a place, as a country. No, the kingdom of God here is referring to the fact that Jesus, God, wants to reign in our lives. We're saying, Lord, I'm giving it up. I'm giving it up to you. I want the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, to rule in my life. And so I'm giving up. I'm surrendering it all to you, God. And so as we pray those three words, Thy kingdom come, be thinking about how we're giving it to the Lord. We're praying for his kingship, for his rule to come, his rule and his reign to come completely in our lives. We can't do it on our own. We surrender it to the Lord. But what is it that we surrender? Well, this morning we want to look at these two things that we want to surrender up to God. And that is that God's plan and his purposes. God's plans. We want to surrender that to the Lord. God has a plan for you, customized for you, made specifically for you. And he's made one for me. We have a plan. God has a plan for you. Psalm 139, verse 16, reminds us of that. Verse 16, part B, says, All the days for me are written in your book. Our Lord of Lords, our God, has a plan for you, and it's different than the plan that he has for me. But we are to submit our lives to God's plan. And the hard thing is, we don't always know what God's plan is for us in our lives. I don't know about you, but for me, sometimes it's not real clear. I wish God would just say, yes, here's the plan, here it is. But that's not always the case. Sometimes there's confusion. We don't know exactly what God's plan is for us. But we know he has one, and we want to surrender and be open to the prayer, to being to God's plan. Paul had to learn it. Paul had to learn God's plan for him and his life, and sometimes certainly so do we. In verses 11 and 13 of chapter 4, in Paul's letter to Philippians, he tells us that he had to learn it. He says, I learned to be content in whatever the circumstances. Whether he was in great, whether he had things he needed to live, or whether he was in want. Whatever the circumstances was, Paul learned to be content. How? Through the strength of Christ and his resurrection power. Paul relied on the power of God to get him through so he could be content, so he could surrender. But it wasn't a given thing. He had to learn it. Because our nature, our human nature says, no, don't surrender it to God. Our human nature says, we can do it on our own. We've got the strength inside of us. Reach down deep inside of you, and you can pull out that strength, and you can come through. Our human nature is not to surrender, but our human nature says, oh no, it's up to me. I can do it. Paul learned then to be content, to surrender his life to the Lord. And he tells about how he did that in Acts chapter 26, verse 14. And as I read this verse, you may be a little bit confused by these words, but hold on, it'll make sense here in a moment, okay? Acts 26, 14, Paul's talking about after his conversion. He says, it is hard for you to kick against the goads. You see, Paul was kicking against the goads. And if you're like me, you probably have said, what in the world is a goad, right? Paul was kicking against them. A goad was simply, it's basically a stick, a long stick, and on the one end of it was extremely sharp. And so a rancher would hold a goad, the stick, up against oxen, mainly. Oxen as they would pull either a plow or a cart. Oxen would a lot of times like to go off in a different direction. Oxen would even come backwards. But this goad, this stick, was held right by their feet. And if they started to walk backward, or if they started to walk sideways, they would get pricked by this sharp object. They would kick the goad, and they would get back on the path. That's what Paul was doing. He was kicking the goad. How? Well, he was persecuting Christians. He was the one who was in charge of putting Christians to death. Paul was not following the plan of God. He was following his own plan. He was there at the death of the first Christian martyr, Stephen. Paul needed to be converted. He needed to be changed. And he submits to the Lord. He surrenders. As in Acts chapter 9, we hear about his conversion. Jesus says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And his life changes as he becomes one of the greatest missionaries of all times. And he surrenders his life. He surrenders to God's plan. But not only are we to surrender to God's plan, we are also to surrender to God's purposes. Now, God's purposes are general. They're universal for all Christians. The purpose of God is not a unique plan that we have for our lives, for your lives. God's purposes, and we want to look at a story in 2 Kings chapter 4 at verse 2, part B. And again, hold on, this will make sense in just a moment. But the verse that we want to think about is, your servant has nothing at all except a little oil. Now, what's happening there in 2 Kings is there's a widow. There's a widow who just recently, she has lost her husband, and she's in debt. The creditors are knocking at her door saying, where's our money? We need to be paid. She doesn't have it. Elijah, the 9th century prophet, asked her, well, what do you have? What is it that you have? And she says, your servant has nothing. Nothing at all, except a little bit of oil. She has no way of paying this great debt that she owes. And so Elijah, this man of God, comes to her and gives her some pretty strange instructions. He says, okay, get your family and you guys go to your neighbors all around and collect some empty jars. Empty jars. She's had to be thinking in her mind, okay, I have nothing, and I collect some nothingness, some empty jars. Nothing plus nothing equals a lot more of nothing. But she does it. She trusts the man of God, from Elijah, and they go out and they collect these jars, and she closes the door as Elijah tells her to do. She takes that little bit of oil. She pours it in each of the jars, and the oil doesn't run out until all the jars are full of oil. She is then able to sell the oil, and she had just enough to pay her debts off, enough to survive. You see, with the Lord, nothing plus God equals contentment. It equals everything. We have enough. She came with nothing, and she ends with enough, with everything. We come to our Lord God, we come spiritually speaking, we have nothing. We have nothing. We're spiritually dead. It's like in the song, Rock of Ages, beautiful hymn. One of the verses of Rock of Ages says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And that's what we as Christians do. That's the purpose of God. We come with nothing. We come broken. We come needing forgiveness. We come nothing in our hands. We cling to the cross of Christ. We cling to his forgiveness. We cling to his resurrection power, and then we have enough. We have everything. Just as that poor widow had enough. We too, we have enough. Because nothing plus God equals everything. And so, like St. Paul in 2 Corinthians 12, verse 9, after he prayed for that thorn in his flesh to be removed, Jesus says to him, and he says to each and every one of us this morning, my grace is sufficient for you. Why? Because my power is perfect. In your strength? No. In your weakness. In your weakness. In your nothingness. That's the strength of God is made perfect in our lives. And so we come to the Lord with nothing. We come to him, Lord, and we pray, if it's going to be, it's up to thee. It's not up to me. So as we go through life and those issues, those problems, all those calamities of life come at us, we lay them to the Lord. We lay our whole life to God. We surrender it all to him. Lord, if it's going to be, it's up to thee. Amen. Shall we rise and pray together? O gracious Heavenly Father, we give our whole lives to you. Lord, we have nothing. We, in our hands, we bring nothing. We simply cling to the cross. Lord, what a privilege it is that we can carry everything to you in prayer. We can unload it all. We surrender it all, Lord, to you. And your grace, your mercy is sufficient for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.